and Hansel for leading us in singing all the songs that I sung this morning. I felt that the Spirit is working within us. He ties everything very smoothly and very well together. And especially when we heard the kids singing, we believe in God the Father. You know, this actually struck me. It's exactly the message that God has placed on my heart to share with you this morning. Happy Father's Day to all happy fathers. It is great to have many fathers and children among us as part of our church family. And we really thank God for His blessing, giving us our... Is this working? I don't think it's on. Can someone help me? Oh, maybe you can. Can you turn this on so I can operate here? Yeah. Good. Thank you. And we thank God for His blessing, giving our church three or even four generations, comprising great grandfathers, grandfathers, fathers, and children represented in our respective families. Now, they're not here. You have to go to the Cantonese or the Mandarin service to find them. But if you go outside, just at the foyer, you see the picture on the wall. That's our church picture. And I saw, you know, I see three, four generations in this picture. And this is very great. It's God's blessing among us. While Father's Day is a celebrative occasion for many people, we also recognize that there may be those who would find Father's Day hurts. It is like a painful reminder of something unforgettable, happened recently or in the past for whatever reasons. Our church is made up of people who have positive experiences of fatherhood and some with negative. As a community in the body of Christ, it is our desire to embrace each other with sensitiveness and understanding, prayerfully support each other in the love of Christ. And I think this is what pleases the Lord. And I feel very privileged today to be able to share God's word with you on Father's Day in the English service. Some of you may not know, I'm a father of three children, and they are all in their 20s now. They are not in this church. They attend another church. And my father just turned 90 years old a few months ago, and we had a big party for him. And the other picture that is on the screen now was taken on my birthday when I was 5, which was many, many years ago. My dad is still very healthy in his elderly age. By the way, he still drives. He is a devoted Christian and still actively serving God within his capacity, like teaching Sunday schools, leading Bible studies, small groups, and leading worship on Sunday at his church. God has blessed my parents with 11 grandchildren. They all grew up in Vancouver, which has been a place where our family resided for the last 46 years. Now, unlike many of you who are here, perhaps those of you who are younger in age, I am not a first-generation Canadian-born Chinese, and neither am I being considered a second-generation Canadian because I was brought to Canada by my parents during my teenage. I'm like some of you older ones in our midst, being categorized as 1.5 generation immigrant, having perhaps a split or a mixed identity, while having lived in Canada for more than two-thirds of my life, but still find myself dreaming mostly in my mother tongue, which is Cantonese, and speaking English with a noticeable Hong Kong accent and tone. Well, that's me. You may also notice that I have taken off my tie today, which is something that I do not normally do at the Chinese worship service. And I do that on purpose. I would like you in the English service to know that I am a part of your community. We are part of the same church. I highly valued mutual understanding and acceptance in the love of Christ, working very hard to maintain the unity given in Christ despite of our diversities, including but not limited to many differences among us in terms of age, culture, family backgrounds, values, and views, including political views. Now, anyway, the scripture text that I want to share with you this morning is found in Isaiah 64, verse 8. This is actually part of a lengthy prayer from Isaiah 63:15 all the way to 64:12. This is a long passage. I do not intend to read it with you. I encourage you to read it at home when you have time. It is a prayer of lament by the Jewish people, pleading for God's mercy upon them. Now, just by reading the first line and the last line of the prayer, I think we could get a glimpse of the prayer and also the feeling of discouragement of those who were praying. This was the first line of the prayer. Look down. They were praying, pleading the Lord. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of your holiness and of your glory. Where is your zeal and your strength? And look at the last line. Will you reframe yourself for these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very sore? Now, this picture looks a bit like the Yonge Street in Toronto celebrating the Raptors' first NBA championship that we saw on TV a few days ago. But you know, this is not it. This is a picture of what happened in Hong Kong to the hundreds and thousands of people in a huge protest a week ago, and with the second consecutive protest that took place on Sunday, which is their time on Sunday, which was last night in our time, involving mostly young people with regards to a controversial extradition bill. And as I was reading this passage in the book of Isaiah 64 this past week, I could not help myself relating the prayer of lament to the current situation in Hong Kong. Just a few words on the historical context of Isaiah 64 would probably help us to further understand what the prayer was about. This was the post-exilic stage in the Jewish history. That is, after the Israelites were taken into exile by Babylon for 70 years, according to God's promise of their home returning, King Cyrus of Persia gave the Jewish exiles permission to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. Undoubtedly, it was God's miraculous provision that King Cyrus of Persia, who do not only allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem, but also provided them the resources to rebuild the temple. Now, even so, the Jewish exiles, their return to Jerusalem had been painful. Even though they have been free from their captivity from a foreign land, they were hardly better off in Jerusalem. They were encountering a lot of hardship after moving back to Jerusalem, including external opposition and internal division in the process of repairing the wall of Jerusalem, following by the rebuilding of the temple. Life at that time in Jerusalem was so challenging and difficult due to all the adversaries. So it is not hard for us to imagine back in those days, especially for those who were dads. If they ever celebrate Father's Day in those days, who were the head of the respective household. They had to work very hard to make a living, just barely survive to ensure sufficient provision and stability for their families, especially for their children. Yet it was very discouraging as everything seems to be going against them. The new life in Jerusalem has been very disappointing. The rebuilding of the temple had been long delayed. They had no time for that. They were feeling very weak spiritually, down at the very bottom in their spirit, in their spiritual life. They were very frustrated to an extent. They even blamed God for bringing them back to Jerusalem. They did not seem to have a future. They were in despair. They lost their purposes and direction in life. God seems to be so far off, so away from them. God seems to be disappeared and inactive while they were going through their lives with much suffering. Doesn't this sound something like some of the feelings that we might have in our daily lives, in our daily Christian walk with God? Even similar to some of the negative feelings that we may have towards God, towards church, towards Christian ministry, for whatever reasons that we might have, and we have become frustrated and disappointed. And in a way, the Jewish people realized that they had rebelled against God. They have hardened their hearts, but they felt that it was all God's fault. It was in such desperate moments an idea came up in their prayer. They start asking what we are asking today, especially on Father's Day. What would be the most pleasing thing that that's like? What would be the most pleasing thing that our Heavenly Father would like? It is the most crucial point, the turning point that was brought up in this prayer of lament, found in Isaiah 64, verses 8 and 9, the scripture that we read earlier. It was in this desperate moment, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the prophet Isaiah, that brought the attention of the Israelites to this very crucial turning point: God the Father. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The beginning, yet, or but now, is emphatic. It is like, in spite of everything, as bad as the situation may have been, God is still our Father. With God, there is still hope. And the implication of fatherhood in the biblical context as God our Father is very significant. I have listed four key points just for our brief understanding. First, it signifies God's sovereignty. It's the sovereignty of God who has everything in His control. It tells us who we are, what is our origin, what is the source of our existence. We were made in God's image. Our ultimate purpose in life is to reflect God's image in order to please Him. And secondly, it's God's unconditional love. God, our Father, signifies the conditional love God has for us as His children. Psalm 103 speaks about the graciousness and compassion of God. In verses 13 and 14, we read that earlier. As the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. For me as a father, I could remember the momentous event when I, as a father, look into the face of my newborn baby after idling either outside or inside the delivery room at the hospital. Though I did not have much direct involvement that my wife had in the actual bearing and laboring in the delivery of the baby. The moment I saw the infant baby, I know I will love the child no matter what. And that's how God feels about us. Thirdly, the fatherhood of God also signifies the goodness and generosity of God in His provision for His beloved children. As we read in Matthew chapter 7:11, Jesus said, "If you then, though you are evil," He was speaking to the fathers, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" The last but not the least, the fatherhood of God also signifies God's discipline, as good parents mirrors God the Father when they correct wrongdoings of their children for their own benefit, just because they are our children. They are my beloved children. As in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines those who He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." Dear brothers and sisters, it is the realization of this very truth, God our Father, signifying the unceasing relationship between God and His people, that brings a crucial turning point to the hopelessness, the hopeless people in despair back in the days of Isaiah. And it is the same thing for us in our days, in our situation. So in whatever situation you are in today, I am praying that God would reveal Himself to you through this truth and through His word, that He is your Father and you are His children. And furthermore, in our text, in Isaiah 64, verse 8, "O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. And we all are the work of your hand." The imagery of potter and the clay was used at least three times in the book of Isaiah. It was found in chapter 29, chapter 45, and also chapter 64. It was also used in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and I encourage you to read that chapter as well, Jeremiah chapter 18. And it was also used by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 12. In all these passages, the imagery of the potter and the clay was powerfully used to illustrate the unforsaken relationship of God with his people and what God was intended to do in the lives of his people, who now confess that he is their father. Some of you might have taken an art course on pottery making, and if not, you might have seen it. You might have seen it at a pottery making shop, like at Granville Island, where a piece of clay was placed at the center of the turning wheel, with right amount of water to make the clay pliable and soft enough. The potter uses his skillful hands, applying the right amount of pressure on the right place at the right time in the whole process, working on this lump of clay, molding it and shaping it until he turns the piece of clay into a masterpiece, into a vessel fit for his purposes as he desires. God is the potter. And I want you to take note of this truth this morning. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing in your life. This is what God is doing in our church. Just like the potter working on a piece of clay, God is shaping us continuously into Christ-like characters through various people and circumstances in our lives. It may be a difficult person at work, at home. It may be an accident that it seems to be, or even a failure of some sort. By the grace of God, we believe that nothing happened in our lives was for no reason. God is using even those unwanted experiences, unpleasant events that we have encountered, and gradually shaping us through those things. Yes, those things were painful, but your hurts and tears are not in vain, because God has made good use of those experiences to enhance our spiritual growth and characters. The truth is that God doesn't give up. God doesn't give up on shaping us. And by the saving grace of Jesus, God intends to transform us as the clay in the hands of the potter. And this is all for us to become a true human being, a new creation in Christ, as it was originally created for Adam and Eve back in the book of Genesis, created in God's image for the purpose of reflecting who God really is in our lives. God's purpose is never for our destruction, and he is our loving Father. God's hope is the hope of a loving father who always hopes his child who has gone astray to return home from his ways, as we read in the parable of the lost son that Jesus spoke about in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. God is the potter, and we are the clay. God, our Father, the potter, is longing for each one of us to yield to him so that he can shape us into a useful vessel for his kingdom. God desires us to be the clay in his hand, to be confidently placed in the hand of a potter. God, our Father, is the potter, as we yield to him by surrendering ourselves completely to him, allowing him to mold us and make us by his power into the kind of person he wants us to become. The turning point is the prayer of lament that we read in Isaiah 64. The turning point is the total submission to God the Father, trusting fully in Him, affirming that we are the work of your hand. God's work in us is not finished. God is still in the midst of molding us. He is still at work in us. We are still under construction towards transformation of His character. Very often our problem is that we are like a hot clay. We're not pliable enough for the potter to be able to mold us and shape us. There seems to be nothing he could do. So for us, spending enough time daily pondering on the Word of God is so important. It would help us, along with the work of the Holy Spirit working within us, helping us to become more pliable and shapeable for the potter to work in our lives as the potter works in the clay. As I reflect on my personal life, God has transformed me in many ways. Some of you do not know me enough. I used to be a very arrogant person. I used to be, nobody likes me. I was very strong in words, in my attitude. I was very self-centered. I was very selfish, even when I was in ministry. But through many things in my life, in my life events in the past, even in my failures, God has gradually transformed my life. And I know He is still doing that, because the work of transformation in my life has not yet been completed. And my prayer for you today is that God would show you specifically how He is working in the midst of transforming your life by what you are currently going through in your life. Even though you think you are all messed up, even though you think you have blew it, you have tried everything, but nothing seems to be working, and I urge you to return to God, our Father, and let Him start things all over again for you by the grace of Jesus. Back to square one, the potter and the clay imagery is where we could find a new beginning in our life. And you will continue to submit yourself to God's transformative work as the clay in the hands of the potter to become a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. And this is my prayer for you and my prayer for our whole church. Let us pray together.